Colossians chapter number 2, we'll read the verse that we began with every evening for the last couple of weeks. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. For the last several weeks, I've been looking at the biblical or a biblical response to cultural issues like social justice and critical race theory. Tonight, Black Lives Matters. And all of these things are so pervasive, so prevalent in our society. I had a pastor call me today from South Carolina that had been listening to the sermons and was talking about how pervasive it is even where he's at. And tonight, I'm not going to take the time to review the material that I've covered in the last couple of weeks. If you missed it and are interested, the sermons are on the website. You can find it there. But we talked about terms that are in the news. Social justice, critical race theory, white privilege, white fragility, intersectionality, virtue signaling, things of that nature. There has been a pushback from some states on teaching critical race theory in the school systems. And critical race theory is the mantra that there are only two categories of people. There are oppressed and there are oppressors. And if you are a white, heterosexual, cisgender male, you were born a boy and you're still glad to be a boy. That's what that means. If you're a white, heterosexual male, then you belong to an oppressor group. And you are, by association, racist and homophobic and misogynistic and sexist and all of that. And if you are a black person or any other a number of identities, then you are a victim, whether you have ever felt victimized or not, or been personally discriminated against. And critical race theory is taught in the military, it's taught in government, it is taught in corporations, it is taught in universities, it is taught in elementary school. I know that Iowa, Oklahoma, and Tennessee, those three states have passed laws banning critical race theory in their state schools, and I want to say that Florida and Texas has, but I'm not sure. I'd have to verify that, but I believe that Florida and Texas have as well. Now, when you have been thoroughly brainwashed by the social engineers that are cramming critical race theory down your throat, and when you have been awakened to your complicit guilt by association, then you are said to be woke. You are woke at that point. That also means that you have forfeited the right to think for yourself, that you're willing to swallow whatever is shoved down your throat. And one of the places that critical race theory is being taught is in large corporations. And I can give you 100 articles, and you've probably read them, of corporations that are forcing their employees to undergo sensitivity training and seminars on white privilege and all of that. And everybody from Gillette to Nike to Target to Starbucks. And if you want to boycott them all, you'll basically have to boycott everybody. You may have heard in the news recently that Coca-Cola is one of the large corporations to go woke. And they were forcing their employees to go through sensitivity training and telling their white employees, quote, to try to be less white. Now, I'm not sure exactly how you do that. They did receive a lot of backlash against it, and they tried to reverse the course, but Coke went woke. That's what happened. Now, here's what's so funny about it, is that Coca-Cola was founded by a man named John Pemberton in 1884. And John Pemberton was wounded in the Civil War, and he worked up this concoction that he thought would heal him, and it never did. So after the war, he started selling it as a drink, and you have Coca-Cola. But here's the ironic thing about it. John Pemberton was a slave owner. When he and his wife had their first child, his father sold him two black slaves to help them run the household. And I just think it's ironic that Coca-Cola wants to lecture you about white privilege. They were founded by a white man that was a slave owner. I just see irony in that. Now, the wokest place on earth, the wokest place on earth is Disneyland, all right? Now, help me a little bit on the monitor, all right? Now, I will tell you tonight that if you never spend a dime on all things Disney, your family will be better off for it. For years, Disney has been a major supporter of gay rights, transgender, homosexuality. They're pushing all of that. If I could get an annual pass to all Disney parks for a dollar, I would never step foot in a Disney park. If your children never see a modern Disney movie, that would be a great thing. Just so you know what I think about Disney. Now Disney has jumped on the woke train with both feet. They have training materials for Disney employees and includes a program called Reimagine Tomorrow. And it has instructions on, these are quotes, microaggression, white fragility, America's long history of systemic racism and transphobia, and calls for equality of the outcome rather than equal treatment and equal opportunity. White people are told to work through their racism even if they don't believe that they are racist. Quote, examine and work through feelings of guilt, shame, and defensiveness to understand what is beneath them and what needs to be healed. They are told to promote the skills and qualities of their black colleagues when those colleagues aren't present to provide visibility and sponsorship. They are told to learn what to say and what not to say to their black coworkers, to automatically give validation if a black colleague shares an experience. Do not question or debate black colleagues' lived experience. And they're told that phrases such as all lives matter, I don't see color, are actually colorblind ideologies and rhetoric that are harmful and hurtful. Now, I don't know if you're going to understand this statement or not, but I'm going to tell you, that is racist. That's what that is. That is racism. You may remember that that President Trump banned all federal agencies from teaching critical race theory in government departments, but Biden has reinstated that in all federal agencies as soon as he took office. If your kids go to a public school, there's a good chance that they would be taught things like this. And there are parents right now who are beginning to wake up to this, and they're beginning to push back against local school boards and demanding that it not be taught. That is a very good thing. And the problem is that most school boards are filled with leftists and liberals that just do the bidding of Democrat masters. But this is what going on. Now here's the sad part about it, and I'll just touch upon it. It's not that it's being taught by government and corporations, but this whole philosophy that we talked about for a couple of weeks, it is actually being preached in a lot of evangelical churches. And we talked about it for just a little bit. I'll give you just a couple of examples. Danny Akin, A-K-I-N, is the president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina, one of the largest Southern Baptist seminaries. And he's tried to straddle the fence. He's tried to come out against critical race theory while espousing the same philosophies of critical race theory. And I want to play a clip. It's a minute and a half. And I'm just going to play a clip. And here's what I want you to do. With everything that I've told you so far, I want you to still listen to his words. Because I'm going to tell you, it sounds great, but I want you to listen. Can you play that, brother? Just play it real loud for everybody to hear it. A minute and a half is all that it is. listen more and talk less. Absolutely. But listen to the words. Build a culture for racial reconciliation and kingdom diversion. Kingdom diversion. White evangelicals have to become better listeners, be willing to surrender power, to surrender leadership at the table. Now, we're all for racial reconciliation. I'll talk about that tonight. We're all for inviting any minority to the table. But what he is saying is that whites are privileged, that they don't understand what it is to be discriminated against, and the only way to heal this is to give up some of your privilege. That's exactly what he's talking about. He talks about surrendering leadership at the table, which is partial tongue for hiring more minorities instead of whites. That's called affirmative action is what that's called. All right. And if he really did believe surrender leadership at the table, then why don't he surrender his? Because he believes it for you, but not for him. Matt Chandler's a guru. He's the pastor of the Village Church in Flower Mound, Texas Southern Baptist Church, mega church. And he's a guru for the young, restless, and reformed guys. All the young guys that are going reformed and what have you. So he's a big guy in the evangelical reformed world. And his church is so big that when they hire staff, that they hire a human resources agency, a headhunter, to find new elders and new pastors for their church. So they ask him. They said, if we have a white candidate and he is an 8 on qualification, we have a black candidate and he's 7, which one do you want us to hire? He said, I'll take the black 7. They said, all right, if we have a white candidate and he's an 8, and we have a black candidate and he's a 6, what do you want us to do? He said, I'll take the black 6. They said, if we have a white candidate that's an 8 and we have a black candidate that's only a 5 on the qualifications scale, he said, well, at that point, I'm going to have to take the white guy. Now, wait a minute. So much for 1 Timothy 3. Biblical qualifications for an elder. That is affirmative action because cultural diversity is most important. The best man might be a black man. But this crowd is always denying racism while implicitly being involved in racism. That is racism at its best. If discrimination against a black person is wrong, then discrimination against a red person is wrong as well. And so they're decrying racism, but I say that they're involved in racism. Now, here's who's pushing it. Here's who's pushing racism in America. And America's divided like I've never seen it before. And that is Black Lives Matters. Black Lives Matters. In 2013, George Zimmerman, you remember the name, was acquitted of murder when he shot a teenage boy, Trayvon Martin. When he was acquitted, I watched most of the trial. When he was acquitted, there was a civil rights activist named Alicia Garza. And Alicia Garza put on her Facebook a post. And in the post, she said, I continue to be surprised at how little black lives matter. And then she went on to say, our lives matter. Patrice Cullors, who was another civil rights activist, she read that post. She took the phrase, black lives matters, put a hashtag in front of it, and put it on Twitter. So now you have hashtag black lives matters. The following year, another black man was shot, Michael Brown, in Ferguson, Missouri. When he was shot, then Patricia Cullors, again, hashtag Black Lives Matters, and it went viral. That is how Black Lives Matters took off. Now, I hope that no one would say tonight that black lives do not matter. I hope you'd never say that. Every life matters because every person is made in the image of God. Jesus Christ died for every man. But you know as well as I do that Black Lives Matters is not just a statement about a person's worth. It is a political activist organization that uses racial divide to divide us for a radical leftist agenda. When you go out in public, you'll see people wearing a hat or t-shirt that says Black Lives Matter. Now, what do you think would be the outrage if you substitute black for any other word? Jewish, Asian, all lives.
In fact, we're told that substituting all lives matter for black lives matters is tone-deaf whiteness. But as a simple statement, you and I would agree that black lives do matter. But that is not what that statement is about. It is a show of support for a movement or an organization. If someone were to ask me to say black lives matters, I would not do it without context. Because I don't want someone to think that I am acquiescing to that movement. So if you want to know what Black Lives Matters is all about, the best place to find it is their official website. Read their policy on their website. You'll know what Black Lives Matters is all about. Well, Aaron, can you put the first quote up for me? Here's from their website. We are unapologetically black in our positioning. In affirming that Black Lives Matters, we need not qualify our positioning. Now position is a key word in critical race theory, and it goes along with intersectionality. And positioning is a notion that your position, racially, sexually, gender, whatever it might be, that's the only real value that matters. And that your knowledge is dependent upon your position, your experiences, your identity. So an oppressed person will have a different position than the oppressor, and thus he will have a different knowledge. When you read a corporation telling their white employees to admit and lament their inherent bases, they're telling them that you're not in a position to understand any knowledge about racial issues. That's not your lived experience. If you don't acknowledge black positioning and queer positioning and transgender positioning, then that's just evidence of your own ignorance. So positioning. Give me the next quote. We're guided by the fact that all black lives matter, regardless of actual or perceived sexual identity, gender expression, economic status, ability, disability, religious beliefs or disbeliefs, immigration status or location. We make space for transgender brothers and sisters to participate and lead. We are self-reflexive, do the work required to dismantle cisgender privilege and uplift black trans folk, especially black trans women who continue to be disproportionately impacted by trans antagonistic violence. Now, what does a movement that is dedicated to justice for black people care so much about transgenders? Because it's intersectional. Blacks and transgenders are both oppressed groups. It is intersectional. Black Lives Matters is not an organization that is concerned for the justice of black people. It is a Marxist organization devoted to the overthrow of the heteronormal culture. That's what they're devoted to. It might not surprise you that Alicia Garza, one of the three founders of Black Lives Matters, is a lesbian who is married to a transgender man. So it's no surprise that they care about the transgender so much. Next quote, we build a space that affirms black women and is free from sexism, misogyny, and environments in which men are centered. Patriarchy, that's a male-dominated culture. And so social justice seeks to downplay the role of the father, male leaders in society. So Black Lives Matter is an advocate of racism, transgenderism, and feminism. Give me the next quote. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are... Well, now, what is a nuclear family? A nuclear family is mom, dad, and children. That's a nuclear family. So they're basically against fatherhood or a dominant male figure in the house. Now, I would tell you, if they really cared about black lives, then you could go into the inner cities and you can see what happens when fathers are absent. Higher crime, higher poverty, higher drug usage, higher sexual abuse, higher abortion rates. You need dad, there's what you need. They're determined to tear down the nuclear family. Now, you can do your own research. Black Lives Matter is an organization that no Christian should ever support. On their platform, it is built on the premise that the greatest threat to young blacks in America are racist police officers killing them. It is a movement of vengeance, not reconciliation. It promotes black power. It promotes homosexuality and transgenderism. It demands reparation. They want to abolish prison and defund police, and they don't care about black lives. And here's why I say that. One out of three black babies in America will be aborted. 800 a day. And if they care about black lives, the moment they care about those black lives. So Black Lives Matter is a radical organization that no Christian should support. But what about racism? We are told every day that America is a systemically racist nation. That we have racism running through our blood and it is down to our bones. And you can't always see it, but it is lurking in the hearts of every white person. And this virus is particularly present in police departments. That blacks are being killed in astronomical numbers by bigots that are wearing a badge and a gun. And that's the narrative that we're told every day. So what about racism in America? I disagree with everything that Black Lives Matter stand for. But that doesn't mean that we don't care about black lives. Now, in order to talk about racism, you have to lay several parameters down, all right? Number one, not everyone agrees with what racism means. That word has evolved over the decades, so you have to begin with definitions. And sometimes a word may change in our culture and you want to hold on to the old definition. But if there's going to be a constructive conversation, you have to deal with words as they are meant now. I would never call myself gay. That word actually means happy. But you wouldn't understand that. That's not how that word is used. So I would never use that word in that context. So you can go and you can look at all kinds of definitions. This is from Lexico that's powered by Oxford University. Here's one definition. It's representative. This is the definition I choose. Here's racism. Prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism by an individual, community, or institution against a person or people on the basis of their membership of a particular racial or ethnic group, typically one that is a minority or marginalized. B, the belief that different races possess different characteristics, abilities, or qualities, especially so as to distinguish them as inferior or superior to one another. Now, I took that and make them my own definition, all right? And this is very loose. I'm not worried about all the nuances of every word. But I think that we would understand. Feelings or attitudes of dislike or hatred toward a particular group of people based on their ethnicity or their skin color. Now, here's the second thing. That when we talk about race in America, it is always cast in the black-white paradigm. There are other races like Asians. There are people who hate Asians. There are people who hate Germans. There are people who hate Italians or Jews. But when you talk about race in America, it's mostly a black and white issue. That's what it is. And so tonight, for conversation, that's the paradigm that we'll talk about. I'll go with that definition, and we'll just deal with the paradigm of blacks and whites. And you can argue with other definitions, and you can try to sort out how many races there are, if there's one human race, and all of that. And I'm not trying to solve all of those questions. I'm just dealing with the situation of racism in America as we understand it on the ground on a day-to-day basis. Are we all racist? Is America a systemically racist nation? And so what I want to do tonight is I'm going to give you just a set of affirmations and denials, all right? This is the way that I'm going to break this down. And I'm going to give you 10 affirmations and denials. We'll put them on the screen. And this is the way that I'll go through this, all right? So number one, I affirm there are racists in America. Number one. Boy, you are a quiet group tonight. You are listening. I affirm there are racists in America. There are people who dislike, who disdain, who discriminate against other people based solely on the color of their skin. By the way, you should never discriminate against someone based on something they had no control over. If you look down on a handicapped person, a short person, a black person, a person with buck teeth, then you're wrong. You're wrong. Racism is alive and well in America just like it is in every nation. And the reason why is because hatred of other people is a sin. And sin is a human problem. And sin manifests itself in a lot of ways. There are white people who hate black people. There are black people who hate white people. There are Italians who hate all Jews. So it comes in so many forms. And you'll never completely rid the world of racism, just like you'll never completely rid the world of any other crime or any other sin, as long as man is a fallen being. So I affirm there are racists in America. Number two, I deny that every person in a particular ethnic group is guilty of racism. That's the social justice critical race theory construct. Because of your white privilege and you have not had the lived experience of somebody else, then you have implicit bias. I disagree with that. And if you belong to an oppressor group, you have to admit that you are an oppressor. There are people tonight who have been taught that, and they believe that every white police officer is a racist and that you're a racist just because you are white. And I deny that. You know, for years we've been told that it's wrong to stereotype. But how is not doing the exact same thing that we've been told is wrong to do? And all that this ideology does is it tears a nation apart and it gets people to hate other people because of the color of the skin. And that is the goal of the ideology. Not all Italians are in the mob. Not all blacks are criminals. Not all whites are racists. Brother Camilleri, we call that lumping. Lumping. Don't lump. All right. Number three. I affirm that racism is not confined to one particular ethnic group. There is as much racism in the black community as there is in the white community. There are Mexicans who hate Anglos and Russians who hate the Polish. And there are Germans who hate everybody that's not German. And social justice and critical race theory have been tools not to solve a racial problem but to exacerbate it. I don't know if the racial divide has been ever greater in my lifetime than it is right now. And I was born in 1969, all right? So I missed the whole civil rights movement and all of that. And I missed all of that. I was born in 69. But I have never seen such division and animosity between blacks and whites as I ever had. That's the goal of it. If you see a white man degrading a black person, call him out on it. If you see a black person degrading a white person, call him out on it. Whatever it might be. Number four. I affirm that despite our country's extraordinary birth and the noble Judeo-Christian influence found in our founding principles, our history is stained with the dark blot of slavery. Slave traders brought persons from Africa, sold by other Africans and brought them over here and sold them as slaves. Most, if not all, of our founding fathers were slave owners. For many years, blacks did not have any rights. They were not considered persons. They were inferior, owned as property. They were at the mercy of their masters. We don't deny that. We don't justify that. I do think that you would find it interesting to read some history of slavery in America besides what the public school teaches. There was a lot of grave injustices and abuses, but some slaves were treated fairly and kindly. Still doesn't justify slavery. We would never agree. I would hope that we would never agree with selling or purchasing another person and enslaving that person against their will. So our nation does have that blight on our history. This is an aside, by the way. In my opinion, what we did to the American Indians is a lot worse than how we treated blacks. Now read some here. Read the history of the Trail of Tears. And this is an aside. If our nation owed reparations to anybody, we owe reparations to the American Indian. Now that's just my opinion, all right? Number five. I deny that because of the blight of slavery on our history, that America should be overthrown and replaced with socialism or Marxism. Every politician, every leader of every kind has to come out and personally apologize for our history of slavery. I do not apologize for slavery. I wasn't around. Okay? It was 150 years before my time. I feel that it is counterproductive for people today to apologize for slavery 150 years ago. It's been apologized for 1,000 times. Just like I think it is illegitimate to blame all of your problems on an ancestor 150 years ago that was a slave. But there are people who believe that there can never be a just society till we dismantle the nation and rebuild it in the socialist mold. That America is evil to the core. It is built on systemic races, that it runs so deep that the only way to root it out is to tear it all down. I disagree with that. Number 6. I affirm that despite our history of slavery and even racial abuses in the past, that America has done more to advance the rights, privileges, and opportunities of blacks and other minorities than any other nation. Now, you could probably find statistics where maybe the per capita income of blacks are higher in some other nation, or where there are less blacks incarcerated and all of that. But it doesn't diminish the fact that America is the land of opportunity for all people. We have led the way in civil rights and making discrimination illegal. You can disagree with the politics of the Civil Rights Act and affirmative action and all of that. But we have taken steps, whether you agree with the steps or not, to end discrimination, to make sure that every person has an opportunity to succeed, whether it is through affirmative action or hate crime legislation, whatever it might be. And it's ironic to me that all of the black millionaires playing basketball in the NBA scream about how racist we are, but they're not wanting to leave the country. They're fine staying here. And there are pockets of racism, but I don't believe that racism is institutionalized in America. A black man, or any person for that matter, has more opportunity here than anywhere else. Now, a kid that's born in the inner city of Baltimore, that has a single mother, no father, drugs all around, poor welfare, no school, no education, he is undoubtedly born with a disadvantage, but he's going to have a better shot in America even with that than he is anywhere else. Number 7. I affirm that many black people today do experience racism in the form of derogatory epithets and other general racist abuses against them. I am sure that black people have a different perspective of life than I do. Now, you know that there are black teenagers who have been stopped by police for the suspicious of being black. I'm sure there are black people who have been denied a job because some racist store owner didn't want to hire them. I know they've been called names that I have never been called. And while I don't believe that all white cops are racist, I'm sure that some are. And while I don't believe that America is systemically racist, I'm sure that there's some who are. And I can look at all the problems that plague the black community in America, welfare and drug use and prison population, but I always want to look at it through the eyes of compassion. They have experienced things that I have not experienced in this country. Number 8, I deny that Christians have a moral obligation equal to the Great Commission to admit our innate racism and join the culture cause of Black Lives Matters and other groups claiming to be systemically oppressed. In other words, I don't believe that we should join in those groups because I disagree with their platform. The premise that all of America is racist is wrong. Their encouragement of violence and vengeance, that is not Christian. For all of their marching and the rioting, they're not helping blacks in America. They have manufactured a problem and come up with a false solution. Everything about Black Lives Matters is anti-Christian. They want to dismantle the family. They want to normalize sexual deviancy. They want to demonize masculinity. I don't believe that you ought to join them. However, number 10, I affirm that while we do not have an obligation to join in the cultural war, we do engage ourselves in the spiritual war for the souls of men, including those of black people in all other ethnicities. I spoke last week about the social gospel, how it is
being preached in so many churches now. And the social gospel is that the gospel is not just about redeeming men from sin, but it's about healing society, things like racism and poverty and all of that. I disagree. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the redemption of man from his sin. And we preach that gospel to every man, and I don't care his color, his size, his abilities, or even his sins. If the church is non-discriminatory in anything, it must be in preaching the gospel. Every man has a soul, and every man is a soul that Jesus Christ died for. Number 10, I affirm that every human being should be treated with respect, dignity, fairness, and compassion. Every person is made in the image of God and is a person that Jesus Christ died for. Do black lives matter? Black, yellow, red, white, it doesn't matter. They all matter. There are absolutely differences of people. Some of those differences are inherent, but one group of people is not superior and inferior to another group of people. You should treat a black man as fairly and as kindly as you would any other person. Now, let me deal with just one thing tonight. And if you've not found anything to disagree with, maybe in the next 5 or 6 minutes I can get you to. There is one word in our English language that is the most offensive word that you can use. It is the one word that can get you fired from a job. It is the one word that can get you banned from an institution. It is the N-word. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. And sometimes you will hear other Christians use it and have a good chuckle over it. Here's my problem with the word. Why would you use a word that you know is very offensive to someone if you care about that person's soul? 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Here's what he says. Do not be purposefully offensive because it will hinder the gospel. If you purposefully offend a person and use a derogatory term, you go against the desire of the Holy Spirit to see that person get saved. You put up a roadblock that they will probably never be able to overcome. It has no place in the vocabulary to somebody who represents Jesus Christ. Look at Titus chapter 2 tonight. Titus chapter 2. Look at Titus chapter 2, look at verse number 6. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. I don't see how using that word is a pattern of good works. That it shows gravity or sincerity or sound speech. It is certainly not speech that cannot be condemned. It can be condemned. You'd be hard-pressed to find a half a dozen people that wouldn't condemn that kind of speech. And by the way, if the lost people of the world condemns it, then Christians ought to condemn it as well. Look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Are we okay tonight? Look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse number 8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, which is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. It's going to be hard to argue that you love your neighbor if you use derogatory language against him. And to have respect to persons is not saying that you do respect them, it's saying that you respect some more than you do others. You treat one person different than you treat other people. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse number 8. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds,
and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You know the only thing that matters is whether you're in Christ or not. And we can sit and talk all night about the plight of blacks in America and the crime rate and how many on welfare and all of that. That's an American problem. But what I want to be is I want to be a Christian before anything else. I don't have guilt because I'm white. I don't buy into the Black Lives Matter screed. I don't believe that all whites are racist. I know as many blacks hate Americans, whites, as whites hate blacks. I understand all that. But in the end, I just want to be a Christian. I don't want to have a scripture sign on one side of my car and a decal of my favorite sports team on the other side of my car. I don't want to exalt my Southern heritage over my desire to see folks saved. By the way, I disagree with them going on a rampage and tearing down all the Civil War monuments because that's part of our history. I understand that. And I think that if you want to fly a rebel flag, you got every right in the world to fly a rebel flag. I just ask why you want to. Most people don't even know why they're flying it, just because they want to be rebel. That's it. That's it. But if I fly that thing and I stick it in the face of some black man who is offended by it, I'll never win him to Christ. What's supposed to be my concern anyway? Look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, long section here on the tongue. You know these verses. He says down in verse number 8, the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. He's taken 8 verses to tell you how out of control the tongue is. Now he's going to give you an example. Look at verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. With the same tongue, bless God, curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Cursing a man because he's a different skin color than you are is the direct opposite of blessing God. Now here's what somebody will say. Well, they call each other the N-word. You know, black rappers, they use that word in their rap songs. They call each other the N-word. So tell me, what else do rappers do that justifies you doing it too? What other word do they use in their vile rap that you think is okay to use just because they use it? Huh? Black mothers don't call their children that. Say black people don't call that. Just because some vile rapper uses a word doesn't mean it's okay for you. They use a lot of words I would never use. I haven't said anything tonight about the problems in the black community. I'm not ignoring black on black crime and poverty rates and welfare. I'm not. But tonight I'm dealing with our heart attitude toward other people. Black Lives Matter will never bring about racial reconciliation because it doesn't want to. It wants to destroy the very fabric of our republic, and it is using race to do that. And the way you and I are going to combat it, it is not, or any other devilish philosophy, it's not by joining that organization. The way you and I are going to combat it is by the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't want somebody to go to hell because I'm out there defending Republican or Democrat. And I don't want somebody to go to hell because I took sides in a war that ended 150 years ago. And I don't want somebody to go to hell because I insist on flying my heritage on some flagpole. And I sure don't want somebody to go to hell because I use a rude and a nasty and a vulgar term that the whole world knows is derogatory and offensive. I want to be a Christian. And my focus is going to be on the gospel of Jesus Christ. See as many get saved as I can. I'll tell you this and I'm done, all right? All right. And I'm sure that every preacher in America preaches on racism every year. I'm sure. In my lifetime, I've been through 2 very major nasty church splits. I have had enough slander and gossip and lies told on me to fill 2 books. I know a woman who sat across the table from my wife. She said, "I will destroy your husband if it is the last thing that I can do." I could tell you story after story of some of the most vicious lies that have ever been told. And every last person who has lied and slandered and gossiped and split a church, in my experience, was a white person married to another white person with lily white children. And you think that you can see somebody coming down the street and know by the color of their skin what's in their heart. And you judge that man and hate that man and discriminate against that man because he's white or he's black or he's yellow. And you don't have the love of Christ in your heart. And what this world needs tonight is it needs Jesus Christ. And somebody else trying to figure out who the Hamites are and if there's a curse on the black man. And somebody else wants to run his heritage up on the flagpole and refight the Civil War. Why don't we just be Christians? And why don't you just love your neighbor no matter what color his skin is and be good to all men and be kind and compassionate and take the gospel to all because they all need Jesus. Just stand with me tonight.